Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you all for joining us tonight for Bible study. We, as always, look forward to having you on the line. We look forward to gaining better insight and perspective as it relates to the Word with you all. And we're just glad that you chose to be on the line tonight to help us dissect this Word and to reveal the mysteries of the Gospel. Going to open up in prayer, and then we'll move forward from there. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we take another moment just to honor you and thank you. God, we bless your holy name, and we love you, oh God. It is you, oh God, we magnify and we adore. And God, we pray right now that you begin to open the eyes of our heart, God. Open the very soul. Open our minds, oh God, and open us up to receive from you, O God. Open us up to understand your revelation. Open us up, O God, to learn and to unwrap your mysteries. That as we move forward in your word, that we'll have better insight and strategy as to how to fight this war that is on earth. Thank you that we know that we're already victorious. But God, reveal yourself unto us again. Give us wisdom and knowledge, O God. Apply your word as we live this life and walk it out. We bless your name today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So we have been on a study, a journey, for the last several months in regards to spiritual warfare. We've discussed the weapons of warfare. We've gone on from the weapons to look at our enemy in this battle, Satan. And us looking at Satan, we did an overview. We examined his fall. And over the last two Bible studies, we've discussed the names and his character. We're going to continue with the names of Satan tonight, so that we can all be better equipped for warfare. Before we move forward, I just want to make sure that there aren't any questions from any of the prior Bible studies. So if you have a question from our past Bible studies, you can go ahead and let me know now. No questions. And I'll continue.
God bless everybody. We're going to pick up where we are left off from, and we were talking about the father of, we're talking about Beelzebub and talking about the father of five. And before I go into this, I just want to share a brief testimony with you all. And I'm going to say a testimony because it is so. So my family was attacked, and it just, on our last Bible study or two Bible studies before, Deaconess Maggie. Deaconess Maggie, are you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir.
A few Bible studies ago, you made a comment, and it just came back to me as I begin to open up and get ready for tonight, about how in us talking about Satan and in us talking about his name and these kinds of things, that we ought to be prepared for an attack and be on alert as to what he's doing. Suicide came and hit my family, and praise God, where nothing, the attempt was not successful, but let alone it was an attempt nonetheless. And then I come to find out that another one of my family members was diagnosed with an illness, a kidney illness, that is affecting her health. And these two things came back to back. And one of the things that it did, I will tell you that it woke me up to be to get back in position. And that is the thing that God began to reveal to me, that, you know, when the Bible says be not weary in well doing, it is very easy or to get lax, if you will, in the will of God. Where, you know, when things are going well, when things are comfortable, then you back off a little bit from praying. And you back off a little bit from fasting, not realizing that it is the fasting and it is the praying and it is the warfare that is keeping not only you but those that are connected to you. Amen. So I will tell you that in the midst of this study, as we're doing this, I want to reiterate that those words again, what Deaconess Maggie shared with us, that as we are beginning to talk about Satan and his kingdom and begin to open up these scriptures and things, that you begin to pray even the more. I'm getting ready to fast myself, but begin now to get yourself in gear and always be on guard. And so I understand what the Bible says, be careful for nothing. Do you understand? Or what the Bible says, watch and pray. And men should always pray. And so you understand that even the more, because when you are in the will of God and when you are doing God's will, grace has a way of covering you. Mercy has a way of covering you. As a matter of fact, people who are connected to you that don't even go to church, that don't even know God, God's blood covers them because they're connected to your house. Glory to God. And so even when you go to Exodus and when the blood was put on the doorpost, it wasn't the fact that the saved people in the house were not the spirit of death passed over, but every person that was in the house, whether they were saved or not, whether they knew God or not, no matter where their relationship with God was, because they were in the house where the blood was, they were automatically covered. And there's some people who are covered just because they're connected to you. Glory to God. And so it is important, y'all, when we are on post, when we are walking in the will of God, walking in the way of God, that we constantly stay on post, because the Bible is very clear that he is walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And he looks for that opportunity, looks for that moment when we are not on post and when we are not on God. Glory to God. And so, and to say that, do not get discouraged when there is an attack to the family. This is not the time. That's not the time to cry. That's not the time to weep. That's the time to lay straight. Glory to God. That's the time to lay on your face and pray. That's the time to lay on your face and cover, because for so many times when the enemy hits us, especially when we're close to home, we respond emotionally and not spiritually. We respond mentally and not spiritually. And this is why, and we'll dig into this a little bit tonight, but this is why the Bible says the thing Paul brings to our attention in chapter 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And so the first thing he says is that when you get ready to respond, don't respond out of your flesh. You got to assess where the attack is coming from. Glory to God. Before you cry, before you weep, before you start making funeral arrangements, before you start doing all of that kind of stuff, you first got to assess where the attack is coming from. And then once you understand where the attack is coming from, you allow that then to assess your response. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I just wanted to share that with you all. Amen. Glory to God. As one who is leading the Bible study, because we are definitely not left out. Amen. But I'm excited about it, because that just lets me know that we're moving in the right direction. The enemy would have no need to fight if there was nothing that was a threat to him. Glory to God. So just by that alone, that lets me know that there is something that I'm doing, something that we're doing that is a threat to his kingdom, and that makes me excited. Glory to God. So we're going to pick up here and finish up where we left off, talking about the father of flies. And basically, we were talking about the names of things, and we're looking at Beelzebub. All right, we're looking at Beelzebub, and Beelzebub being translated into also meaning the father of flies. And we begin to talk about where flies begin to come from, where flies begin to root from, and how flies carry, glory to God, disease. And we talked about how maggots, and which is part of the evolution of a fly, is birthed out of dead things. Glory to God. And we begin to talk about the last thing we looked at before we cut off last week. We looked at how you can get honey out of dead things. And we look over into the book of Judges, where Samson pulled honey out of the carcass of the lion, and he gave that honey, glory to God, to his parents. And that thing that he, while it was sweet and while it was good, it was yet defiled. Glory to God. And so understanding and authority to God that everything that comes to you that is said to be good, everything that comes to you that is said to be positive, you got to be careful that it is not coming from a defiled place. Glory to God, coming from a defiled place, coming from a place that is not of God. And so it may be sweet to your flesh, but harmful to your spirit. Glory to God. And so being careful not to entertain a dead things. Amen. And so we're going to wrap that piece up. Let's look at the book of Matthew 8 and 21. The two verses that I want to pull out here, and then we'll move on from here. I'm going to look at Matthew 8 and 21. And then I also want to look at Hebrews, very familiar verse, but I want to look at it as well, Hebrews 12 and 1. And I want to show you two things, and then we'll move on from here. Matthew 8 and 21 says this. And he says, and another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury the dead. And when he was entered unto a ship, his disciples followed him. Okay. And then I'm going to move over to Hebrews 12, verse 1. Very familiar verse, but I want to show you something specifically, and then we'll move forward from there. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Let me go ahead and get this here. Give me a second. Does anybody have that verse for me? You got to go ahead, babe.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us.
There's two things that I want to pull out here, and then we're going to move forward. One of the things that you need to understand, when Jesus addressed the disciples, he was in a moving motion. The Spirit of the Lord was moving. Jesus was moving. He was on his way to get on a ship, and the disciples wanted to stop and go back and take care of something. Jesus Christ said, he said, listen, let the dead bury the dead. The next thing here is when we go into the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews makes a very distinct difference between a weight and sin. All right? But then he further goes down and talks about then running the race that is set before us. So in both of these verses that run parallel, when we talk about weight, when we talk about dead things, you need to understand that dead things are not necessarily things that out of the will of God, or take you, or cause you to do something contrary to God's word, or contrary to God's will. However, dead things, however, affect your movement, or affect your momentum in the Spirit of God. The Bible says, "Walk in the Spirit, that you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And so, there are things in our lives that have no value whatsoever. Things that we hold on to out of comfort, things that we hold on to because we've become accustomed to them. There are people who will be connected to friends because there are some times where you can outgrow certain people because they add no value to your life. But all of a sudden, after a while, if you continue to hold on to them, what used to be a support is now a weight. Doesn't necessarily cause you to go outside of the will of God. Doesn't necessarily cause you to do anything wrong. Yet and still, it adds no value. And so it takes from you more than it gives back to you. In the finance world, we stand that to be liabilities and not assets. And so every now and then on your walk with God, you got to begin to examine and assess the dead things and the weight in your life, because dead things and weights come, especially when you've outgrown particular situations, when you've outgrown particular relationships. And so what used to be a support system, what used to be a value, because God has shifted me, or because I've grown, or because I've matured, now that no longer is a support, but now a weight. Same thing when you outgrow an outfit. When you were 13, you could fit the pants, but now that you're 25 and you've grown a little bit and you matured a little bit, what used to look good, is no good anymore, and you can try to make it work, You can try to make it fit, and you can try, and watch this, all of a sudden, depending upon how small it is, it'll be too tight, and then it'll begin to restrict your airflow. And so now what used to fit you and used to look good on you is now harmful to you. And this happens every now and then as we begin to mature in God and grow in God. We got to realize the weight and the dead things that we got to lay aside. Let me dig a little deeper. And what happens is that when you hold on to a dead thing, if you continue to hold on to a dead thing and try to carry it, all of a sudden over time, dead things carry infections. Things carry disease. Now all of a sudden now you begin to realize in certain areas of your life, things begin to slow down. You're not growing and moving to your potential, and you're not doing the things that you know you should be doing. You're looking at your life, and you know you should be farther than where you are. You You, there's vision in you. There's dream in you. There's business in you. There's book in you. However, because of what you're holding on to, it's causing you to sit still. Do you know? Can you imagine the pain of Moses being able to see the promised land, never have access to get in? Do you know there are some people who can sit down and dream a dream, see the book, see the ministry, see the vision, but because they don't want to let go of certain dead weight, dead situations, they sit still and allow what God has called them to do. They'll watch the mandate on somebody else.
My God,
because
my God.
Don't want to let go of things that do not bring value, glory to God, to your life. Understand that when Jesus is in motion, Jesus was on a mission. He had to get on the boat because he had somewhere to go. The disciples said, Father, I need to go and take care of this. I need to go and take care of that. And so it was a distraction from purpose. It was a distraction from where they were going. Have you ever been in a situation, and it amazes me how they get to this thing, where you finally got yourself together. I mean, you finally got the vision. You finally got the momentum. You finally got the energy. You done wrote the vision. You done made it plain. God has given you the answer. God, you said yes. You confirmed it. But all of a sudden, here goes something that is distracting you from where you need to be. And no, it's not wrong. No, it's not outside of the will of God. But sometimes children, sometimes wife. I'm going to take it a step further. And I know somebody's not going to like this, but I'm going to say it. Sometimes certain church people and people who don't understand what God is taking you to, glory to God, when you cannot see where God is taking me, when you don't understand where God is leading me, you can become a dead weight if you begin to talk to me from your misunderstanding. Don't tell me what I need to do. Tell me what God is confirming in my spirit. I don't need to know your thoughts. I don't need to know your emotions. I don't know how you feel. I need to know what God is calling you to tell me. And see, people, what they'll do, as you move in the will, and because they don't understand, because they're confused, because they can't see it, they'll tell you it's not God.
My God, my God.
And so it's imperative, Zion, that when we talk about dead weight, and I think this is the most important thing, and I'm going to close this out, because the enemy operates in dead weight. Because, and here is where Paul made it, the writer in Hebrew made it very clear. He said, let us lay aside every weight and sin. A lot of times we can get so focused on the sin and not realize the weight. Oh man. You know, you're in the, let me show you what I'm talking about. Well, you're in the will of God, you know. You're not fornicating. You're not lying. You're not cheating. You're not cursing. You're not doing anything that's outside of God's will. Yet and still, you're not moving. You're not moving. And the spirit, you've reached a plateau. There's no deeper revelation coming to your life. There's nothing happening. There's nothing growing. And so while everything is fine and you're not necessarily sinning, you're not moving either.
Jesus.
Heaven is moving. God is moving. Things are happening and you're not growing. You're not moving. You've reached a plateau in your walk with God. And sometimes what we don't realize is that as we begin to grow and as we begin to move, it's not necessarily sin that begins to beset you, but it's the dead weight that begins to beset you. Sometimes ideologies that you have will conflict with what heaven is trying to show you. I know you thought that way a few months ago, but God says, I'm shifting how I'm moving, so you got to think differently. You can't see me how you saw me in January. You can't see me how you saw me in December, for I am a God who shifts and moves. And so now you got to learn how to shift with me. I don't got time for you to go back and try to understand. I don't got time for you to try to go back I can make sense of what I'm doing. I just need you to speak me and move by the leading of the Holy Ghost. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. And so because sometimes this is a problem with religion and tradition. We try to fit God in a box to where we can understand, where we can conceptualize. But there are some things God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And so all the time that you're taking, trying to figure me out, all the time that you're taking, trying to understand, I don't need your understanding. I just need your obedience. I just told you if you love me, just do what I tell you, and it'll make sense along the way. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but I feel the Spirit of the Lord telling me that you have sat still long enough. You need to get up and move. But there are certain ways. There are certain ways that you need to let go. And let me assess this last piece, and then I'm done. So, and then Paul says, you let us lay aside the way you sin. Watch this. That so easily beset you. When we talk about easy, that means that it has an emotional attachment. It has a comfort level there. You become comfortable with it. Become comfortable in the place that I'm in. I'm comfortable on the the door, open the opportunity. I won't, because I'm comfortable where I am, y'all. And it so easily besets you. I'll even make it a little bit simpler. TV. God. So easily beset you, because all of the hours that you spend watching TV, I can't get you to hear what I'm saying so I can give you vision, give you purpose, give you destiny to begin to show you and minister to you, because that weight so easily, beset you. Am I making sense? And so as we talk about,
amen,
glory to God. So as we talk about this and we talk about how the enemy operates, he operates also in the weights, in the dead thing. So it's important and imperative as we begin to move forward in the kingdom of God, as we begin to move forward in what God has called us to do, it is very important that you address the weights. Address the weights in your life, because destiny requires discipline. If you're writing, write that down. Destiny requires discipline. And every now and then, you got to do an inventory of where you are in your life. And you got to begin to assess every ship. Kevin, what do you mean? Every friendship, every relationship, every partnership, every fellowship. And whatever ship you, the glory to God. Amen. So that's the dead thing. Amen. Now let's move, amen. I'm gonna touch this very briefly. Amen. I wanna break this down into two pieces, and I got 20 minutes, and I want to do this so that we can get this. I want to look at this on an individual level, and I want to look at this on a territorial level. And I know I'm not going to get through all of this, but I'm going to try my best. Let me start right here. Are there any questions for me in terms of dead things and weights before we move forward here? Any questions in terms of dead things and weights?
No.
Amen. Okay.
Wait, yes. Some of the dead things, and you know, it's kind of like, I don't know how to say this, but how, kind of like, okay, like you said, address the dead weight in our life.
Yes.
Now, after we address those dead things in our life, that dead thing could very well be a son or a daughter, too. And
yes, that is true.
Like you were saying, in all the ship family, you know, how would you, with a sensitive issue, it's different when it's a family member.
Yes,
than
ma'am.
When it's like maybe a situation on a job. I want to know.
Agreed.
You know, okay. I guess it would take wisdom and prayer to ask God to know to teach, you know, to strategize to deal with it, right? I would believe so, because it's kind of, I guess it's like lifting weight. That's why it is the weight, because we carried it so much and we become immune to it.
Right.
Until it kind of want to weigh us down and hinder us from getting to our destiny. So it's
right.
How to really identify all those dead weight that we could very well be blind to and not think it's a dead weight, you know, mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm trying to identify many dead weight, you know, the difference and different ways to handle them, because, you know, a dead weight, I'm asking, a dead weight can, you know, like you said, could be a ministry that we're in. And if we're not progressing and if we're not growing, I guess it's time to move on.
Right, and I'll tell you this. Go ahead.
With that, I'm trying to understand here. So, because as you're talking, I'm realizing a lot of dead weight that I need to cut off.
I'll put it to you this way, and others who are on the line can also chime in, because this is one of the biggest things I think that is a hindrance to a lot of believers in their walk as they move toward destiny. Now, when we go back to Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm going to tell you some of the strategies that I use in this. So, you know, it talks about great, lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. One of the things that I think it is so important is that you got to know where you're going. You got to know the finish line. Where is God leading me? Where am I going? Oh, when we were talking about walking in the Spirit, where is your walk leading to? What is destiny? What is destination? Where is God taking me? Okay, because what happens is that then you begin to assess your life from that place. So if I know that God has called me to be at a certain level in the earth, I have a certain position, or if I'm supposed to be at a certain place in ministry, I'm talking about what I know. I'm not, and let me preface this: I'm not talking about what I think, what I feel, or what somebody told me. I'm talking about the thing that you know that God has confirmed in your spirit. You know, not what has come out of your emotion or your what you know God has begun to direct and say, you, this is what I've called you to do. You know it. God has confirmed it. This is it. Okay. When you have that confirmation from the Father that this is where you're supposed to be, this is the path that you're supposed to be taking, now you begin to assess your life. You begin to assess your life, and you begin to look at, and those dead things are those things, as the Bible says, that are a hindrance or begin to beset you from moving in that place. Now, here's the key thing when I say cut off, and let's talk about family, because there is an emotional tie there, of course. There is an emotional tie there. There is a heart string there. And so, and I won't necessarily call it a stronghold, but it's an emotional tie there. I won't go to the depth to say that. But here's what I will say, that when the disciples told the Lord, "Father, let me go back and bury my father," in other words, what he was saying was, "Father, I'm going to pause in what I'm doing for you right now. I'm going to pause in the direction that I'm going, and I'm going to pause in following you to take care of this dead thing. And then once I take care of this dead thing, then I'm going to follow you." And here is what the disciple would have lost. He would have lost time. He would have lost time in moving in the direction that Christ had called him, and he would have missed that move. He would have missed that moment, because once Jesus got on the boat, if he would have went back, the boat would have left. All right, Kevin,
Hello.
What are you saying? What up? Go ahead. Go ahead. Okay. What I'm saying is that you begin to look at what you're outputting and what's getting put back in you. And so if you are tied to a relationship where you are outputting, you are pouring out, you're pouring out, you're giving, and here is what a dead thing is. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that you're investing in, you're ministering to, and you begin to see the progression, right? They're moving forward, they're going on. I'm talking about a dead thing is something that you're pouring in and you're not getting no return. And not even back to you, but even they're not moving forward, they're not going anywhere. You literally are wasting your oil, your time and energy, because you're pouring in, but there's nothing happening. That is what a dead thing is. There is no value there in the relationship. It is not moving. It is not growing. It is status, and it is nothing but taking, but it is not contributing either back or forward. What do I mean? It's not contributing back, meaning it's not giving anything back to you, or it's not contributing forward, meaning it's not giving anything out to others, to the community, to anything. That's when you begin to, and that's what I mean by a dead thing. I'm not talking about if you're in a relationship with someone, you know, no matter what ship it is, fellowship, family, relationship, friendship, and you are, God has called you in that person's life, and you're beginning to support them, you're beginning to help them, and you are seeing them move forward, you are seeing them progress. I'm talking about you're pouring all of your oil and there's nothing happening. It is dead. And
Amen.
So now
thank
when
you have, for the clarity.
Right, right. And so what you have to do now is when you realize that it is dead, first you got to realize it's dead, all right? So first you got to realize that you're sitting, so let's go with, if we go with the family, first you got to realize that I've helped my aunt, my niece, I've helped my nephew, I've helped them, I've given them all that I have, but now in me giving them all that I have, they're not progressing, and now it is hindering my progression.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about ministry, when we talk about ministry, I've said in the ministry, I've given, and the ministry is yet still stagnant, and now my growth in God is being hindered.
Mm.
You understand? So there's a two-part effect. Thank you for that, baby. There is a crippling effect, and there is a stagnation effect.
Okay.
Okay. And so now, once you address that in your life, once you identify it and address it, then that is when now you begin to ask God, "Father, give me now the..." First of all, you're going to have to give you the strength, because what happens is you become so attached that it becomes difficult to break those. This is why people stay in ministries for so long, not so much because of the church, but because of the relationship they built with the people. So I'm not growing, I'm not advancing, I'm not moving, but because I love my sisters and brothers in Christ, I'm going to stay, yet and still I'm spiritually dying. I'm stagnant.
My God.
Or because of the attachment. Or family members, because I've gotten, you know, this is my son, this is my daughter, this is my niece, this is my nephew, you know, this is my blood, my family, I'll pour, I'll give, I give, I give, I give, yet I'm not getting anything in return. Physically or spiritually or mentally. And so I've become fully exhausted over this situation, and they're not moving forward, and they have become comfortable in taking from me.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you identify the weight in your life, the first thing you got to do is ask God to give you the strength. Because now you have to now make a decision that's going to hurt emotionally. It is not going to feel good walking away from a friendship. And what I mean by walking away, it doesn't mean to end the relationship, but it means you stop your contribution so that you can now allow God to restore you so that you can move forward. Because God will not pour any more oil if he knows that there is a direct link where this person is literally sucking everything he's pouring on the inside of you out.
My God.
And it's a hard thing, not spiritually, emotionally. That's the challenge. That's the challenge right there. It's the emotional tie that we make to thee. That's why we hold. That's why people hold on to dead things. It's not because they want to keep it. It's not because they've identified that as dead. It's because they've developed a love. They've developed attachment. They've become accustomed to the honey. Ooh, glory. That comes out of the dead thing, the emotionalism, the feel good, that when it is no longer contributing to my spirit, I'll hold on to it because the flesh, I'm afraid of the hurt that it is going to bring to my flesh more than I'm encouraged about the strength that it will bring to my spirit.
Amen.
Glory to God. So you gotta, and Deaconess, that's the truth. And I will tell you, not being a parent myself, but I will say this piece, and then I'll back away from this piece. But one of the things that the prodigal son's father did, and God revealed this to me, is that the king never left his house. The king never left his place of authority. He always knew that his boy was a prince. He always knew that his boy was a royalty. And so instead of going, leaving the kingdom or leaving his place of authority and going to the mess that he was in, hallelujah, he stayed in his place of authority, put a demand on the prince that he was, hallelujah. See, when we talk about parents and children, it's important, hallelujah. Hannah knew that God had given her a prophet. And so she had the courage to give that prophet back to God. When you know that God has called your child to be a man of God or a woman of God or whatever God has revealed to you as a parent that they are, the hardest part for a parent is allow your child to wallow in the pig pen, but you don't never leave your place of authority. You treat them as the prophet that they are. You treat them as the pastor that you know that God has called them to be. You do not leave your place of authority. Why? Because the son came back not to his father but to the king. And his king, the king was able to confirm the prince in him. You got to be careful when you leave your place of authority. And you begin to get messed up in the pig pen. Because when they wake up and come back, when they wake up and come back home, you're not home. You're not in your place of authority. You cannot confirm who they are because you done got caught up in the pig pen. Hallelujah. I know I went way to the left, but I'm going to bring that back. So identify the dead weight and ask God for the strength to release it, because that's really what you're going to need. You're going to need the strength to say no. The strength to stop giving, the strength to stop supporting, the strength to stop going, the strength to stop pouring. And then God is going to have to teach you all over again how to receive from him, because you've become so accustomed to pouring out that now God has to teach you how. Amen. It's always
Amen.
Important when you read Psalm 23, where he had to lead. David said that thou leadest me beside the still water. God had to literally lead him to the place, bring him to the place, and had to make him lie down in order to be restored. It's amazing that for some of us, we've become so accustomed to drama, so accustomed to the chaos, so accustomed to giving and giving and giving, where God literally has to snatch you to a place of restoration and make you lie down and teach you again, teach you how to receive from him again.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Glory. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Amen. Glory to God. Go ahead. I'm here. Go ahead. There was someone with a question or a comment on that?
No, I was just going to say what you just said helped me in so many ways. Like you say, especially when it comes to those friendships. And
yeah.
It does hurt. I went through the same thing. As soon as this year started, January 2nd, some ties were severed between a friendship I had been in for 8 years. And the way it ended, it's like it was just so profound to me because I was like, my God, and I know I should have been released that friendship. But I kept holding
right.
on to it because there was an emotional attachment and there was a comfort
right.
level. And the way it happened, it was just so crazy. I knew it had to be God severing those ties, whether it's permanent or temporary. I knew that, God was saying, hey, it's time for you, to let that go because it's taken away from the time that, you can be spending with me. You're so focused on this friendship that, you're letting everything else go, including me, So that just, that helped me a lot the way you, explained that because I just went through that.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Well, any more on this, we're going to, it's 9:16 now, so I'm not going to even dig any deeper that. I think that I'm going to hold it right here and open up for questions on this dead waiting. We'll just take this moment to, expound a little bit. Go ahead, dear.
I think when it comes to relationships and churches, fellowships, even jobs and those things, everything that could be a weight, you have to assess it in terms of this. I like to look at something called intersections. Intersections are on this road because Kevin talked about how we're supposed to be moving. On this road that we're traveling on, you will cross intersections, and that could be people, jobs, places, churches, and those things that are meant to be beneficial and aid you. However, you gotta go with them, so they aren't meant to. You gotta along with you, and what's meant to only be an intersection for your journey.
That's good. Looking at those intersections. Amen. Any more commentary or questions on that? Talking about weight, dead weight tonight.
Go ahead. Amen. And I apologize. I just wanted to co-sign with you. I just came in. I caught the ending of what you were saying. You with letting go of the dead things and the dead weights, because the Bible says, let us lay aside every sin and every weight that doeth so easily beset us. And then the last thing, real quickly, that he said also that when I'm weak, then am I strong, meaning that when we stop trying to do it in the flesh, then God is able to do it in the spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you for that, Pastor. Amen. Glory for God. Any more commentary on this? Amen. Talking about the dead weight, amen. Amen.
So sometimes you can be a weight yourself, right?
Woo! Glory to God. See now you're messing up. And I will. And let me. I'm gonna touch that, and then I'm gonna back up. Okay. Because when we become the way, you are literally then talking about, for me anyway, so let me dig deep on this and let me back up. So when we talk about our flesh, the Bible says that there's no good thing that dwells in our flesh. Amen. Glory to God. This flesh that we are in. And then one of my favorite scriptures is where the Bible says, "For a way into and seemeth right." Mm-hmm. But the end thereof is death. And me give a personal testimony. One of the hardest things for me, right, is actually seeking God in everything. Okay? See, the biggest mistake I make is when doors begin to open, every door that opens doesn't mean that it is of God. Ooh. Every opportunity Amen. That comes your way doesn't mean that it is of God. Every man that comes his way, that he does not mean that that's the person you're supposed to be with. Every woman that comes your way, that he doesn't mean that that's the person you're supposed to be with. And so what happens is that because it looks like God, and because what you know I feel and what I believe, watch this, instead of seeking God, instead of actually taking the time to seek God, watch this, because it looks good, that got to be God. I'm opening up Kevin right now. That's the biggest mistake that Kevin makes, because one of my problems is that, you know, with doors, you can get so caught up in doing things and getting busy and going here and going there, and instead of you actually praying, "Father, is this you?" And watch this, not only asking him, but waiting for him to respond. Oh, see, we ask, but then we'll move without him ever saying yay or nay, because we don't want to wait to respond. Or shucks, we don't have the patience to actually see whether this God. I guarantee you, if you date him long enough, I guarantee you, if you just sit there just for a little while and let time pass, God will begin to reveal the truth. You understand this, thine truth is never given, it's always revealed. And therefore, because it's revealed, it takes time for God to uncover. So that's why you got to be careful. That's why he says, be swift to hear and slow to speak. I need you to respond. I need you to learn how to listen. And are waiting on God. You got to learn how to wait. That's why he says, they that wait upon the Lord, watch what I'm going to do. He says, I shall what? Renew, right, your strength. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to give you power. I'm going to give you the strength to do what I'm telling you to do. I'm going to give you the tools. I'm going to give you the equipment. I'm going to begin to exalt you. I'm going to begin to do everything while you are waiting. So here's the biggest mistake that we make. We ask, but we don't wait for God to give us a response, because our emotions, the excitement, the fact of what we feel, what we believe, what looks right, we allow that to guide us and lead us. Some of the worst relationships I've ever been in my life were the ones that I was just so I couldn't wait. I was so excited. It felt right. Ooh, it just felt right. They said all the right things. It was those relationships that I was so consumed on the phone that I didn't have enough time to pray. So consumed on dates that I didn't have time to seek God. And so I got so caught up in what felt right, instead of walking into what God confirmed was right. So you definitely can be awake simply because when the Proverbs, and I've reached this in my life, chapter 3, where he says, trust in the Lord, lean not to your own, understanding. Stop right there. When it makes sense, pray. When it makes sense to you, pray. That's your moment to pray. Because now we're talking about your own concept, your own understanding, your own ideology. And God says, I don't think like you. And so instead of seeking your mind, you need to seek my mind. Instead of seeking what you feel, you need to seek what I feel. And see, the thing about it is we need to learn how to stop seeking God's hand and seeking God's heart. You'll make a lot of more decisions when you make them based upon not the hand of God, but the heart of God. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to leave. Glory to God. Amen. Amen.
So, my God, so this, I need it.
Yeah,
amen.
I
wanted to
go ahead.
Amen. I wanted to just add on to what you said, if I may. Can I be a wait? I have yes and no, and the reason why I say that, let me see if I can qualify that. When I say yes, because in my mind, in my thinking, and my desires are sinful, then yes, I'm a wait to myself. And because if you look at Romans 10 and 10, it says, with the heart man believes. So when that thinking is tainted, then now, remember the three enemies, the flesh, the world, and the devil, that flesh is now acting up. And then I said no to the soul and spirit, and sometimes intertwined or interchangeable in the word, at times the spirit can't sin. It's this wicked flesh. Again, co-signing with you, in my flesh dwells no good thing. To will is there, but to do it, Paul said, I can't find that. And then he went on to say, remember, it's no longer I, but Christ that dwells in me. So he says, what I'm trying to do is serve the Lord. And as you remember, the scripture says, it's with the mind that I serve Christ. It's this wicked flesh in our bodies that desire, when we were born again, born with a bent away from God, that keeps pulling us back to it. And that talks about that dead stuff you were talking about leaving behind. And last thing, Romans 12, 1 and 2, he commands and he tells us not to be conformed to this world, but transform, here it is again, by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will concerning the Lord. So therefore, there you go again, like Paul said in Ephesians 6, that struggle, that spiritual warfare is always there. So my yes and my no goes to one to the flesh and the other one to the spirit being no. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. And I think that to me, Pastor, I think that leads schizophrenia for every believer. We will forever be schizophrenic because there will always be that challenge between those two natures on the inside of us. And no matter how much you mature, no matter how much you grow in God, the reason why it'll always be there because the enemy will tempt us based upon those desires, based upon those lusts. And our strength in God comes when the greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. When I have learned how to allow that now to be my first nature and not my second nature. But when it becomes my first nature, when I learn how to respond based upon the Spirit and based upon the leading of the Holy Ghost that is upon my life, then that has become me. And that's where fasting comes in and praying comes in and seeking God comes in, really, because in all of on that journey, that is where now my flesh, that's why Paul says, mortify the deeds of the flesh, put to death those things. But that is the daily fight of the believer every single day. Glory to God. Amen. All right, any more questions or comments on this? Amen. This is good to me, really good to me. Amen. Glory to God. Prayer request.
Yes, sir. Give me a prayer for her. I will be traveling to Florida on Monday. Just keep me in prayer.
Amen.
I hope
glory
I can get
God.
A chance to meet up with you and your wife.
Hey, just shoot us a text message.
Okay.
Glory to God. Amen.
I would like you all to pray for me. For me, I am in a place of trying to transition. My name is Ella.
Okay.
And that was you answered a lot of my questions when I was saying about a weight yourself, myself being a weight.
Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Any more prayer requests there tonight?
As always, we want to pray for you and your wife, and the tremendous work that you all are doing to enhance every listener and those that are constantly invited to the line. I think it's a great work, and there's not enough words to even express how you all enhance and build up, edify, comfort, and exhort the lives of people that is listening. So we want to pray for you all as iron sharpens iron.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor, for that. And I reciprocate that, and I want to say to you all, it's my prayer request as well. One of the things that the Bible says is, beautiful are the feet, hallelujah, of those who carry this gospel. And you all, I put a prayer request out there for every leader in the kingdom of God. There, you know, I would say that the kingdom of God is under attack, but I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say, y'all, I really believe that there is a revival. There is a not only a revival. Let me say, there is a revolution that is getting ready to hit the church as we know it. I truly believe, y'all, God is getting ready to send a fresh wind like never before through His body, through His bride, and even in the midst. Because when all of this chaos is going on, you better believe in the midst of all of that, God has a response. And I'm just so excited to be a part of the kingdom of God right now, to be connected to His body, because I know that there is a great work ahead. Amen. So let us pray for every pastor, every leader, Pastor Jones and their ministry over in Texas. Amen. And every leader, amen. I'm going to put out there, there's Apostle David Bynes, there's a pastor, Apostle Sanja Perry. These are all leaders, amen, who are leading in the kingdom. Amen. So let's keep them in prayer, every leader, amen, across the body. Glory to God. Amen. Any other questions? Amen. I mean, prayer requests tonight. Amen. I want to end with this tonight. Amen. I want to just share this with you, what God shared with me in prayer prophetically as I was praying earlier on this week. And I will leave this with you. And the Lord shared this with me. He said that my people have to learn to seek me again. For I, the Lord thy God, has shifted to a new place of glory, a place where they cannot find me. For I'm pushing you to a new place of worship, but it is found in your seek, passion, desire, and burn after me, my heart. For the concern of my hand is over, and the concern for my heart starts now. For my passion and my desire is for those who seek my heart and not my hand. For I sought you and found you. Now will you seek me? And I want to share with you that piece of what God, the Lord, shared with me, and to know that in this dispensation of time, we must seek the heart of God. We must seek God for His heart, and we must seek Him for His truth. Because truth, the price of truth, comes in the ability of you laying down your thoughts, laying down your desires, and seeking the will of God. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 37, for the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. So seek Him. All God asks you to do is to look. All He asks you to do is look. And in the midst of you looking for His heart, for the palpitation of God's heartbeat, of how God feels, of what God thinks, I guarantee you there will be a true cataclysmic revival brought to your life as you begin to seek Him, not for His hand, but for His heart. Amen. Let us pray. Father, it is in your Son Jesus' name I thank you tonight. I thank you, Lord God, for your people. I thank you, Lord God, for the word. I thank you for every leader, every pastor, every child of God, every son, every daughter, amen, that is under the sound of my voice. I pray now for them, that, Father, that you will begin to, Lord God, as Paul stirred up the gift in Timothy, Lord God, you begin to stir up the gift in every individual under the sound of my voice. Father, that they will now begin to use their gift, use their capability now to begin, Lord God, to fulfill the purpose and the mandate on their life. Father, I pray now, Lord God, that you will begin to open up our eyes, that we will begin to see, open up our understanding, open up our wisdom, that we, God, will be able to see and recognize the dead weight that is on our lives. Let us begin to identify those ships, Lord God, that are leading us to in every other direction that is not, Lord God, leading us to the place of destiny of which you've called. Every friendship, every relationship, Father, every partnership, every fellowship, Lord God, that is not leading us in the path of righteousness, not leading us into the direction of destiny that you've called us. Father, give us the strength to let go. Father, I pray now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, for every emotional tie that we have developed that is exhausting us spiritually, exhausting us mentally, exhausting us emotionally. Give us the strength, God, to sever the tie now that, Lord God, we will learn, Lord God, how to receive restoration and strength from you. I decree and declare, Father, that we are no longer going around the same mountain. Hallelujah. But we are now focused head on. We are not, God, walking based upon what we think. We're not walking based upon what we feel, but we are walking based upon what we know in you by faith. And Father, I thank you now that you said in your word that now faith is the substance of things that I hope for. And it is definitely the evidence of things I've seen. I thank you now, Lord God, that we are moving by faith now. That we are now moving, Lord God, into the destiny, into the purpose that you called us to walk in. God said in your word that we ought to walk worthy of the vocation that we are called. And I decree and declare that every person under the sound of my voice is now walking according to the vocation wherein that you called them. That every ministry, every gift is now in the name of Jesus. And we are now fulfilling our God-given mandate. And I decree and declare, Father, that now we are beginning to see the fruit of our labor, that no longer will we waste time in dead places and on dead things. But I decree and declare that we are beginning to now see the fruit in our lives. I pray, Father, for our sister who will be traveling to Florida, that you give her traveling grace and mercy, Lord God, as she heads, God, in this direction, Lord God. Surround her with your blood. Surround her dwelling, God, that, God, you will guide her safely, God, by your hand, and cover her, Lord God, with your angels and your grace of mercy. I pray, Father, for my sister, God, that is on the phone, that is, God, dealing with our sister Ella, who is dealing with, God, a decision or a choice or whatever, Lord God, she's dealing with. Father, I pray now that you begin to give her solace and confirmation. And she will now begin to be able to make the decision she needs to make, Lord God. And if she finds that there are weights around her, God, give her the strength to push those weights aside, God, and move forward in the things that you called her to walk in. I pray for every pastor. I pray for every leader. I pray for every fivefold ministry gift that now, Lord God, your body is coming into an alignment with where you are. That, Lord God, the body of Christ is now coming in line with the Ark of the Covenant. And no longer are we fulfilling religious ideology. No longer are we fulfilling traditional expectations. But, Father, we are now moving off of the very lips, off of the very word that parts your lips. I pray that we are now, pastors are now being revived by the heartbeat of God. That no longer are we carrying, Lord God, what we think or what we believe, but we are carrying and moving based upon the palpitations of heaven. And now, God, that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart are now acceptable, Father, in your sight. I thank you so much for where you're taking us as a body. I thank you so much for where you're taking us as a kingdom. And we bless you tonight for all that you are going to do. And we are so excited about our future and about the place and the destiny that is on our lives. Restore the hope and the joy of our salvation as we move forward in your will and in your way. We give your name all glory, honor, and praise. Until next week, I pray that you cover your people, cover our homes, cover our dwelling places, cover our children, cover our family members, and protect us, Lord God. And if the enemy shall tempt us in any way, Father, let us not respond out of the flesh, but let us respond out of the Spirit, knowing that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against rulers, against powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places. I thank you now that we identify those principalities and those powers and those wicked rulers, and we are now beginning to cast them down according to the weapons of warfare that you've given us. For they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Father, we give your name all glory, honor, and praise. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. We love you all tonight. We pray that the Spirit of God will be upon you. Take his word, eat of his revelation, and allow him to minister to you this week. Until next week, may the Spirit of the Lord be with you and his presence upon you. Amen.
Amen.